So I want to tell you about something that happened at my house, and it's I don't know if it's like a good
Okay.
story, but I just feel like I need to tell you. It happened right before I called you
Okay.
today. So let me start with yesterday evening. My
Okay.
girlfriend and I were outside and we were about to get in the car, and we saw a little baby deer sleeping in the yard, in the long grass.
Oh, I think I saw that on her Instagram story. It looked very
It
cute.
was so cute. And so,
Just like full Bambi, like
with
Disney
the
moment.
spots, it was fully a
It did
Disney
have the
moment.
spots. Yeah.
Anyway, it was a beautiful thing, and I was like, yes, now we get to watch this deer grow up all summer because it'll probably live
Oh my
nearby.
God, you're so cute. I can't wait to watch this deer grow just over the next months,
Yeah,
years,
seriously.
maybe even. Okay,
Maybe
love it.
years. I don't know. I wouldn't be able to tell it apart from the others once it grew up.
You don't know. You don't know.
So then today
Okay.
we were looking out the window and we saw that it had moved to a different spot, and we were like, oh, that's weird. That doesn't seem as safe a spot as where he was sleeping before, he or she.
He or she, thank you, I will.
But again, we were just admiring it from afar, and I was
And you're
excited
like,
to
I don't
watch
know
it
deer
grow.
stuff.
I don't know.
Excited to watch it grow. I can't. I don't know deer stuff though. Whatever, anyway.
Yeah. So then we go outside, and she was like, oh, I just want to take a closer look at it. And so we go up into the yard, and she was like, oh, there are some flies on it. I feel like I should wave them away. And I was like, oh, maybe we shouldn't get too close. We don't want our smell to get on it. And we
Oh no.
got a little
Oh no.
closer, and it was
Dead. Was it dead?
most definitely dead with flies all over it. And it was so much more upsetting than I expected it to be. And I was having a just an anxiety moment anyway. So then when that
Yeah.
happened, I was like, oh my God. And then I just cried silently in the car for a little while.
I hit a rabbit with my car one time and immediately burst into tears.
Oh yeah. I hit a
And
deer
I
with my car
couldn't
once and
brake
cried.
quick enough because the person behind me was tailgating the shit out of me. Anyway,
Sometimes there's nothing you can
I just
do.
started crying. It's fine.
So maybe the worst part of this is the strange guilt that I now feel from bear with me, because I feel that I may be partially responsible for the death of this deer.
Oh my God. Okay. Wow. All right.
So right before I called you for this podcast, I went out onto the front porch and there was just a dead bird lying on the ground. And I was like,
Okay.
that's a lot of dead animals for just one day.
Yeah.
And right, and so I'm like, okay, is there something going on? Is there something in the air, a power about the house? And then I remembered that we've been treating the house for ants, and so we have a whole bunch of those poison traps where the ants take the poison back to their home and poison all the
Think a
others.
bird would get into that, though.
But the birds eat the ants, and so I'm like, what if you ate a bunch
Do
of
they?
Don't they? Maybe they just eat worms. I was thinking that they ate small insects.
I
Anyway,
don't
so
feel
my
like birds
current
eat
paranoia,
ants.
maybe not. Thank you. I hope not. Thank you for saying that.
Okay. I don't think deer eat ants either.
Neither do I, but I'm like, what if the baby came down and licked the trap because it was curious? I don't know. So I'm
I don't
paranoid
think
now
this.
that we're like
No.
that we're
No, this
like
did
through the
not
food chain,
happen.
killing all the wildlife in the area.
You didn't.
Okay, I hope not.
You didn't. That's
Thank
not
you.
from ant traps.
I
It's
need
like
to believe that.
that. It, but that's the truth. You, I
Okay,
mean, you
'cause I
need to
need
believe
to
that
get rid
because
of
it's
these
true.
ants.
Yeah, I mean, no, you didn't kill a deer from an ant trap. Even if a deer ate like ant poison itself, it wouldn't kill it. Like,
I hope not.
it's like the dosage of that stuff is to like kill ants. Like, it's not gonna take down
Okay,
a
that's true.
deer.
That's true. That's true.
It might get sick, it might barf, but I don't think it
It
would
was a
die.
baby. Okay, we can't know, but it's probably not because of me.
It's not the ant traps. It's like totally not the ant traps. It's not because of you. Oh.
Right. Well, thank you.
Listen,
And on that note of
I don't think
fear.
you're a deer killer, all right? Also, welcome to Why Are You Like This? And so we could say you're a numerologist, if you will. And that's addiction.
Of 4x dick. It's 4 times as large as usual.
Why? Like, how does your navel get like that?
Right.
That's disgusting.
How, though?
I wouldn't want to live in Amish country permanently, but I would visit as a booty call.
I was so distracted by the sexy mystery. Fuck.
It's totally fine. I said sexy mystery, and you were like, this one time?
Please enjoy the music while your party is reached. I'm going to peak in high school and then die. Welcome.
Home of people who don't kill deer, okay?
I don't.
But Why Are You Like This is the weekly podcast where we dissect some part of our culture, be it wildlife or other, in order to determine why people are the way that they are. And that is Jamie Ryan, not responsible for the death of animals in Cincinnati.
And that's Austin Williams talking me down from the ledge in Chicago. Welcome.
Good evening. Good day. Good morning.
Okay. Well, good. I feel better. I feel like I can focus now that you've alleviated my fears of being an involuntary deer hunter.
Yeah, I mean, you were, like, really ready to write yourself into the opening scene of Bambi, and I'm just, it's just not true. It's just not true. I do have questions, though, about just, like, the ants. I don't know. Well, that's another story, but, well, here's the thing, like, was there any sign, though, on the deer of, like, actual, like, trauma, or it was just, just there?
It was just laying there. It just looked like it was asleep, but, like, we, like, clapped, and, like, I shook my keys, and it wouldn't get up, and so, like, it's dead. But there's no, like, we couldn't see a wound, or it doesn't look like it got bit.
Interesting.
That's I'm why I was lie. Like, it's
when you started
poison.
That story, I thought you were going to tell me that like the deer had been shot.
No, like, I do live in Kentucky,
we have
though.
Rogue neighbors, and they shot a deer. That is what I thought the narrative was going to be. I'm not going to lie to you.
I wouldn't like that. Wouldn't be very strange, honestly.
I know.
It'd
weirder
be
things.
Wildly dangerous for them to be shooting into my yard, though.
Oh, yeah, I'd be scared for you. I'd be more scared for you, dude.
No signs of trauma. Anyway.
Well, thank God.
Thank you. But what are we talking about tonight? Because it's not deer hunting.
No, we're not talking about deer hunting. We're not talking about Jamie's desires to be Snow White or anything else. We, as a matter of fact, are talking about something that counteracts what we say sometimes, because we say this isn't a sex podcast, but sometimes it is.
It's only a sex podcast when it's not a sex podcast, and that's not tonight.
Yeah, so it's a sex podcast tonight. And on that note, we're talking about swinging.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I've been so excited for this.
Oh, well, cool. I mean, cool.
Yeah, I honestly don't know very much about it. It's like something, when you suggested this topic, I was like, how have I not ever dove into that? That's crazy to me. But hey, I'm excited.
Hey, is what it is. So if you're not familiar with swinging, or you need a refresher, swinging, sometimes called wife swapping, husband swapping, or partner swapping, is sexual activity in which both singles and partners in a committed relationship engage in such activities with others as a recreational or social activity.
All right.
So, like, we're getting our sex on.
Yeah.
Swinging is a form of non-monogamy and is an open relationship. People may choose a swinging lifestyle for a variety of reasons. Some of those we can talk about, but many cite an increased quality and quantity of sex, because swinging's about sex.
Yeah.
And some people may even engage in swinging to add variety to their otherwise conventional sex lives. Mm. Or just due to straight-up curiosity. So, good on you. Some couples see swinging as a healthy outlet and a means to strengthen their relationship. And I'd like to just give us, like, a numeric kind of qualification of how many people we're talking about in this country.
Yeah, I have no concept.
And, right. So, in 2018, a study of the prevalence of non-monogamous practices in the United States estimated that 2.35% of Americans currently self-identify as swingers, and 4.76% had identified as swingers at some point in their lifetime.
Oh, okay.
So, like, almost, they're saying almost 5% of Americans swing at some point.
That's a decent number. That's like, one in 20 or something? It's more than that. I'm not mad. No one figured out what I just said.
Just, you're, don't change.
Yeah. That feels like kind of a lot of people, but I don't know what I was expecting because, I don't know, people are curious.
I don't know what I was expecting. I mean, I think the swinging lifestyle and or community is something that most people have heard of.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
To that point, I guess it doesn't shock me that maybe we're flirting with a decent chunk of people who have partaken at some point. Yeah, that
it's, like, a relevant enough thing to, like, I don't know, like, there's a Bob's Burgers episode about it. Like, there's other television episodes where they touch on it that, like, brings it into, like, our, like, cultural vision. And so it must not be, like, so niche, I feel you.
Yeah, and to your point there of it being on television and Bob's Burgers and whatever specifics, I wanted to ask you if you had a sense of what your first exposure was to the concept of swinging, or if you even remembered, or what maybe even, if you don't remember the first, what are recent or the ones that come to mind?
I think that my first exposure was watching That 70s Show when I was, like, in elementary school. And the neighbors on that show, I think their names are, it's Donna's parents. So it's, like, Bob and somebody.
I don't remember their names, but Donna's parents suffices.
Yeah, so Donna's parents. I was, like, watching That 70s Show, and, like, my dad was in the room, and he was, like, talking to someone, like, his mom my mom or, like, a friend or something. And he was like, oh, you know, those people are totally swingers. And I, like, whipped around, and I was like, what are swingers? And he was like, oh, that's people who, like, they would switch husbands and wives, like, just for a night. And I was like, oh.
That's an interesting way to describe it.
Yeah. And so that was my first exposure. And then after that, I think just, like, I picked up on it on other shows. But yeah, that was, like, the first time that I was, like, introduced to the idea that people would, like, not in a secretive way sleep with other people.
Totally. I'm with it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have a clear-cut example of my first experience with, like, the idea or concept of swingers or swinging.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, when I think about my pop culture experiences with it, as the syndicated crime drama correspondent of this podcast,
yeah,
absolutely, that's where my mind goes.
Uh-huh.
Specifically, an episode of Law & Order SVU, because there's a Law & Order SVU episode about this, and also an episode of Criminal Minds.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the SVU episode, I know the episode's called Bombshell. I think it's around season 12, if you're looking for it.
This is SVU?
But this is SVU.
I think I know what episode you're talking about, but go on. That excites me.
So, shout out to key players in this episode, aside from our beloved Mariska Hargitay, Rose McGowan is a major, like, character in this.
Oh, yeah.
And she has, like, a jealous, crazy, fake, like, ex-boyfriend who you find out is her brother who she's fucking.
Yes,
who's played by the same actor who plays Gary Bertier in Remember the Titans.
That doesn't land for me, but other people are shouting right now.
Listen, Remember the Titans, it's in my top 10 movies, but probably top 5, along with other things you would be surprised by, but that's another episode. That said, it's a great episode, and Olivia and Elliot, back when Stabler was on the show, and it was like OG partners in literal crime, go undercover. Because in the opener of the episode, there is a guy who is found unconscious because he had, like, a violent assault where, like, someone stabbed him in the crotch.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So then they're, like, doing
the
digging to be, like,
a special victim. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a special victim because it's
a sexual nature.
It's a sexual nature, which is considered especially heinous. These are their stories.
Kung Kung. Kung.
So, that said, they go, like, they, like, dig to figure out what's going on, and they find out that he was, like, a large patron of the Swingers Club.
Yeah.
And it is, you see, like, mostly couples, but not everyone who's there is coupled off in this episode. So Rose McGowan's character is, like,
a free
single
agent.
Boo.
A unicorn,
she's a free agent. She's a unicorn and a free agent, and, like, all the bros at the club are, like, obsessed with her, specifically our special victim. anywho, you enjoy the process of Olivia and Stabler being in this club, being like, oh, we're new to the lifestyle, and...
That's right, they pretend to be a couple.
They pretend to be married, and they go to a swingers club kind of undercover to, like, get the dirt.
That's right.
On what's
yes.
going on. So, that's a little bit of a light swinger exposure, and the things I picked up from that were we had some people who were, like, married, some people were, like, boyfriend, girlfriend, some people were single as hell. It was, like, kind of like a bar club atmosphere in the episode, mm-hmm. where people then would also, like, there was a room where people would just be, like, hooking up.
Yeah.
So, in this setting, the swinger venue avenue, and this is, you know, it's SVU, so you're in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It's like truly like kind of like a nightclub kind of vibe.
Yes,
and
it was.
You have to be invited. Like, first timers have to be invited by somebody who's like already a member or like already goes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's very much like a, you kind of have to be like vouched for to be a part of this particular group,
mm-hmm.
and that seems like something that is prevalent, perhaps.
Well, and when we did, like, the Kinks and Fetish episodes, like, a lot of
totally.
What we read about was, like, in especially, like, BDSM, like, circles of people who, like, engage sexually with each other, there's a shitload of vetting. And everybody is
right.
usually, like, has to, like, know someone in the group before they're allowed in. It's for safety, yeah.
Totally. And so this is a lot of that. And you hear them have conversations in their undercover vibe of, like, how do you deal with the jealousy? And the characters in this club are very much like, I'm, like, never jealous. It's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
But interesting, right? So
yes.
there's that one. And then there is an episode of Criminal Minds, my other favorite show, where, and a shout out, takes place in Akron, I think, but it's in Ohio. And there are like two sets of married couples who have been murdered in the span of a week. And the husbands had Viagra in their system, the husbands who had been killed.
Okay.
But they weren't prescribed the drug, and it wasn't something they were taking. And like they were shot, but their wives were stabbed. It was like,
oh.
A lot of interesting, like, ooh, it's why it's called Criminal Minds, because, like, what's up? But they could tell from, like, whatever had gone down, the couples were forced to have sex with the husband wearing a condom. So it was like huh. chicka, what? And so people are worried about, like, sexual sadism and what is it? But at some point, they really, like, get hung up on, like, why would you use a condom? Like, why would they make husbands, like, wear a condom to have sex with their wives? Doesn't make sense. And so they theorize, or profile the killer, if you will, to be potentially a swinger. And they were like, maybe he was a part of that scene, but then he'd, like, become impotent, and now he's just trying to recreate it.
Oh.
So, okay. I think the part about that show that's interesting, it's like, they're at a swingers club, like, party situation, like a group,
mm-hmm.
but it's in someone's house, which
yes.
is kind of always how I imagine swinging.
Also
more
how
of, like,
I imagined it.
Yeah. And maybe that's just because we're from the Midwest and, like, we're, like,
you hear about swinger parties and, like, potlucks.
You hear about parties. And then I also think, like, I don't know, like, I don't think, who's to say, I could be very wrong about this, but that there are, like, brick-and-mortar swinger clubs in Cincinnati, Ohio, our hometown, God bless. Like, I don't think that there are.
I have heard.
Could be wrong. I would believe it would happen in people's houses 100% there, but I don't
1,000%.
Think that there's, like, a swinger club venue.
There are two that my coworker was going to try to text me the name of before 8 p.m. tonight, but she has not responded yet. But we were talking about it today, and apparently in the Westchester and Mason Montgomery areas, there
shout
are,
out, Cincinnatians. Yes,
so if you're looking for it, there are a handful of bars, and if you really want to know what they are, I can probably find out for you, that are...
Slide into our DMs.
Do it. But there are a couple of bars in those areas that are... very like pro slash heavy swinger clientele.
Oh, okay. Well, see, this just goes to like prove me wrong, and also maybe
it's all secret-y,
solidify
though.
The fact that it's like 5% at least of the population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was like almost equally surprised and unsurprised when she told me that.
Yeah,
yeah, because it would be very easy. I don't know if that was like something that I was into. Like, if I have to theorize, like, okay, how would I make this happen? You create, like, a small network of people that then keep inviting more and more people. And you have to have, like, a bar or something to, like, meet up at. So I could see, like, certain local spots, maybe without the owner's intent at all, just kind of becoming swingers places.
Hmm. Okay.
And not all of the guests, I'm sure. This is just my theory, based on some loose information I heard today through the grapevine.
Totally. So I'll say this, in the Criminal Minds version of the Swingers Club, which is at somebody's place, they also connect in attempts to like understand the culture with a like married couple who runs a swingers club for middle-aged married folks. And so the FBI agents are just asking them a bunch of questions. And one of the things they say is that he has to bring in a female companion or he wouldn't get in the door.
Oh.
Which actually is kind of always been, and I don't know why, maybe it's just I've seen it this portrayed this way in the media, but I've always kind of imagined swinging, like, yeah, you have to show up as a couple. It's not like you can show up as a single person. But they question this. One of the agents says, okay, but if somebody is a part of like two men, like one woman coupling, how is that possible if everybody has to, you know, bring somebody? Mm-hmm. And the swinger couple that they're talking to explains that a married man might bring his wife and then he'd choose like a single guy for her to have sex with.
Oh.
And in this episode, they deal a lot with like the power dynamics of people hooking up and like also their partners like being in a role of like choosing who they hook up with and all sorts of kind of interesting psychological things, because that's what the show is fucking about.
Yeah. Well, and even in like fetishes or like kinks, if you will, such as cuckolding. That's more about like embarrassment, but that is another situation where like you're watching your partner or you're aware of your partner having sex with another person, and in that case, like, it's a straight man like watching his wife be like fucked by another dude, and often like he will have some say in like who fucks her, and like that's like often a part of it and like part of the excitement, and like that's not something that like I desire, so like I don't personally understand it. But it makes sense to me that like in a swinging element, like being able to choose like who your partner has sex with, like absolutely feeds like the power dynamic of like any sexual interaction. It has to. Yeah. So totally. That makes a shitload of sense.
Yeah, it does make sense to me too. So that being said, that's kind of my, like, jumping off point in my pop culture vibes on everything. And I'll also say, because I felt like it was worth pointing out, and maybe this is because I spend so much time in watching shows about people who get killed. To me, again, I'm like, okay, swingers, in my perspective, are wrapped up in some kind of deviance, and it gets the rap of maybe being like a little mentally
negative.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And we said this on the Kinks and Fetish episode, where I said certain fetishes, I was like, if you're like really into like choking people, I'm like, it feels to me like one that could get turned up and then you could die. And so, like,
and your
swinging,
exposure in a lot of those cases, and mine, comes from, like, criminal or like frightening shows
yes.
about like when this shit goes wrong, but we very totally. Rarely see it except for like in Bob's Burgers the other way.
Totally. I think a lot of times anything sexually considered not the norm can be something that gets a reputation for being linked to like psychotic problems.
Yeah, 1,000%. Like, people thought that all gays were pedophiles for a very long time.
For a very long time, right. And that is so unfair. And I don't think it's totally fair to judge swinging in that yeah. kind of way either.
Yeah.
And the wife on the episode of SVU, where her husband got, like, stabbed in the balls, essentially.
Yeah.
She withholds the information that they're swingers, and then they find out. Mm. And they were like, why didn't you tell us? And she was like, because of the looks people will give you. And she goes, like, the way you're looking at me right now, she goes, people think we're some kind of deviant.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
or that somehow he got into a situation where, like, he, like, deserved that, or, like, it got out of control and, like, it wasn't a murder. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's like when a sex worker gets killed. It's like there's this yes. pass of, like, well, we don't, like, you got yourself into this.
Yeah, you were living a
lifestyle,
you know,
that led you here. Like, yeah. some bullshit, yeah.
Totally. So, I felt worth pointing out.
Yeah.
Just worth mentioning. I feel like it gets a bad rap, just like any other kink fetish situation.
For sure.
So, a little bit more about the history and, like, a little bit backstory on just, like, swinging culturally, right?
Yeah.
So, the phenomenon of swinging, or at least its wider discussion and or practice, is regarded by some as arising from the freer attitudes towards sex in general during the sexual revolution of the 60s.
Hmm.
And then along with that, the invention and availability of contraception, like specifically the pill, and then also the treatments that arose for STIs that were known at the time. And so the adoption of like safe sex practices really became way more common in the late 80s. So you had a couple things going on there that they were saying this is when it felt like wider discussion, greater practice, more popularity around swinging mm-hmm. for general more sexual health availabilities mm-hmm. and more liberty and positive attitudes just towards sex in general. So.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, a guy named John Stossel Welcome to the program, John. Welcome. So, he produced an investigative news report into the swinging lifestyle in 2005.
Oh.
And there's a guy named Terry Gold who did a bunch of research on this and wrote a book, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just generally a journalist who has written about all sorts of interesting cultures, not exclusively swinging. Mm. But he cites Gold's research when concluding that couples swing in order to not cheat on their partners.
Hmm.
When Stossel asked swinging couples whether they worry their spouse will find someone they like better, one guy replied, "People in the swinging community swing for a reason. They don't swing to go out and find a new wife." And a woman asserted, "It makes women more confident that they are the ones in charge." And I was like, oh, okay, that's an interesting perspective.
That is interesting. Yeah, very hot take.
Right. So Stossel interviewed 12 marriage counselors, and according to him, none of them said, don't do it. Though some of them said, getting sexual thrills outside of marriage can threaten a marriage, which, like...
Sure, yeah.
Sure, like,
yeah, that's
like, totally.
Fair, yeah.
Right. Nevertheless, swingers who Stossel interviewed claimed their marriages are stronger because they don't have affairs and they don't lie to each other.
Hmm. Okay, I mean...
Interesting perspective.
Yeah, those are not the only two options, but yes.
Yeah. So an even kind of deeper dive on the history of swinging that I thought was really interesting. So Terry Gold, who Stossel cited, he wrote a book called The Lifestyle, mm-hmm. A Look into the Erotic Rights of Swingers.
Erotic rights?
Why not?
R-I-T-E-S?
Like, buzzwords. That's right, girl.
Okay.
So, Swinging, he, according to him in this book, swinging began among American Air Force pilots and their wives during World War II before the pilots left for overseas duty. And I was like, chicka what? I was like, who are these racy motherfuckers in the 40s? Because I put my head in that kind of time zone, and I'm like, so the people that are my grandparents' age, and I'm like, culturally, I have a very hard time imagining that generation involved, but that's probably based on my exposure, so.
Yep, it's what they've told us. Yep, maybe not true.
So the mortality rate of pilots was really high.
Oh, they're trying to get their thrills. Or maybe not.
Well, it was, I'm not mad at you. That's intense. But Gould reported that a close bond arose between pilot families because the mortality rates were so high, right?
A sexual bond, yeah.
Look at you. That implied that pilot husbands would care for all the wives as their own, emotionally and sexually. Listen. If the husbands were lost, okay? So if the guys died, they're saying, like, one of these other pilots is, like, is gonna take care of your wife. Jamie is, like, ready to do just, like, late-night phone sex ads. And honestly, like, here for it. So
you have to wonder if they ever were sexual also with each other when they were away for long stretches without their wives in these stressful, stressful areas and times.
I mean, I'm open to it.
I think they were, too. But what were you saying?
So, the realities of the demographics and basing of, like, U.S. Air Force stuff, like the pilots, the crew, whoever, suggest that this arrangement did not evolve during World War II, instead evolving later. But who's to say? I was like, interesting take, Gould, but then other people came in and were like, I don't think so, dude. It was like the 60s, but whatever.
It's also very hard to, like, factually create a historical record of people's sexual practices because, like, people endlessly lie about their sexual practices.
Well, endlessly lie. It's hard to get a lot of people to, like, self-identify and even an anonymous survey about what the truth is.
Right.
But more debunking on the World War II theory, U.S. military were not accompanied by their families, obviously, and a lot of guys in the Air Force were single. So giant military bases where families live while accompanying a deployed soldier, sailor, Marine, whoever, are mostly Cold War creations. So that doesn't really make sense with it being like, oh, we're just like all here together. So the origins of swinging are contested, is what I'm telling you. But it's assumed that American swinging was practiced in some military communities in the 50s.
Sure. You know, everywhere probably some people were fucking each other's, their friends' spouses, you know?
Sure. And they say by the time it was the Korean War, swinging had basically spread from the military to the suburbs. So.
All right. Yeah, the GIs come home. They're like, let's continue this lifestyle.
Listen, that's right.
Yeah.
And then you got the 60s, which is free love movement, and the activities associated with swinging become basically more widespread in all social classes, in all age levels. And in the 70s, sometimes referred to as the swinging 70s, if you will, swinging activities were way more prevalent, and they were still considered alternative or fringe, which I would argue they still are now.
They, yes, I believe still are.
Because of their association, like, you know, non-mainstream groups, though, like communes and, like,
and people love to sexually shame each other. So, like, anything that's, like, sexually, like, perceived as deviant or is, like, not just, like, a monogamous heterosexual marriage, like, often people aren't super loud about because it's not that well received. Yeah.
Right. Right. And when I was doing my research on this, it's not what I saw in my, you know, syndicated crime drama life.
Yeah.
But it's one I've definitely heard of, and I was like, I don't know if I, like, caught this on television or just, like, in a story. I don't know. But they did talk about key parties. Are you familiar with a key party?
Oh, the keys in the bowl, and then you... That's a bit too much roulette for me, but it is nice to not play favorites. But I'll let you explain before I tell you more feelings.
Well, generally the practice here is that when I read it, they broke it down and said the male partners, but I don't think that really matters. I'm like, some people...
It was the 70s. You can tell it gendered. It may have been.
Well, that's true. Probably. But basically, one half of the couple.
Dominant
often
partner.
Described as the dominant partner, sure. They'll put their car, their house keys, or whatever, in a bowl or a bag when they get to the party. And then at the end of the night, the sub, if you will, or the female partner in
the non-dominant
narrative,
partner.
You know, whatever. They randomly select the keys from the bowl, and then they leave with the owner of those keys.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on key parties?
I've always found the idea to be just incredibly stressful.
I don't want to have sex with a random person.
I do not, but I would bet that through the course of the evening while you're all at this party...
You have somebody you would want to have a... Well, that's what I'm saying is... listen, I don't want to say not... I don't know if that came out right. What I want to say is, like, okay, if you go to a party and then there's somebody you would like to, like, leave and hook up with, mm-hmm. I wouldn't want the choice to be random.
So that's what I'm getting at, is that I think that probably some people, and I would do this, like, if I was, like, really feeling somebody, I would be like, hey, what do your keys look like?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Which ones are yours?
Could you...
Yeah, I'm like...
Could you describe your keys, and then...
Can I get a little bit of info about the lanyard?
Yeah. Yeah, or the if you know what car they drive, I don't know. I bet it wasn't always totally random, but the idea of it being random, let's go there for a second, is terrifying.
I don't love it. And it has, like, ratcheted up version, or, like, feelings, I guess, if you will. Oh, like, spin the bottle. But it's like, if you play spin the bottle, like... grade school, high school, whatever. If you play spin the bottle...
I never have.
There's someone you are hoping it is gonna land on.
Of course.
That is not what happened.
No.
Then you have to kiss someone you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And this sounds like spin the bottle, except that you're not just, like, having 7 minutes
are
in
higher.
Heaven.
Yeah,
the stakes are higher.
Yeah.
You know Karen's at that party, and, like, nobody... There's just, like, everybody... There's, like, one person that nobody wants to fuck is there. Like, that's
And they're happening. There because they have, like, a super hot spouse, so they, like, keep getting invited to keep that other person in the mix.
I feel like that probably happens in a lot of swinger communities.
I bet it does.
Where there is somebody who is the more favored partner of the couple. And you kind of got those vibes in the SVU, episode that I don't know. I was just like, well, I was like, you know, he's into, like, exclusively this one person in this club, and, like, I'm like, but, like, how, like, who's into his wife? Like, is that even happening? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like,
yeah, maybe no one. I mean, I'm sure every swinger relationship is different, and, like, yeah, maybe at that point she wasn't with anyone, and he was just, like, super hard for that one girl.
Well, I mean, there you go.
And hopefully they're having an open dialogue about that, but maybe not.
Well, you hope. You hope.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that, though. Let's talk a little bit more about relationship quality, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
So research on swinging has been conducted since the late 60s in the U.S.
All right.
And in a study that happened in 2000 that was basically based on, like, an internet questionnaire, and it was targeted towards visitors of swinger-related sites, claimed, like, their takeaways, they were saying that, like, swingers are happier in their relationships than the norm. So these are people who are self-proclaimed swingers, self-identifying their happiness levels, which I'm like, it's complicated, but...
It is complicated.
Let's throw down some stats, and then let's conjecture on this a little bit.
Yeah.
60% said that swinging improved their relationship.
Okay.
1.7% said swinging made their relationship less happy.
Wow, that is, wow. Okay. That's low.
Approximately 50% of those who rated their relationship very happy before becoming swingers maintained their relationship had become happier.
What about the other 50%?
Just
not
happy.
Could be the same, or could be less than, I guess. Yeah.
So 90% of people who answered the survey with less happy relationships said that swinging improved them. 90%.
Wow.
Almost 70% of swingers claimed no problem with jealousy.
Okay. Huh.
Approximately 25% admitted, I have difficulty controlling jealousy when swinging, as somewhat true.
Mm.
While 6% said this was very much true.
Okay.
So, small percentage saying, like, I'm super jealous. Swingers rate themselves very happy, like generally happier. So they're saying 59% are saying I'm very happy, mm-hmm. compared to 32% of non-swingers mm. said I'm very happy.
Okay.
In terms of excitement. Sure.
Well, excitement. Right. Yes, here we go. Yes.
This feels more, I was like, yeah, totally. So in terms of excitement, 76% of swingers compared to 54% of non-swingers were like, my life is exciting.
Wow, only 74%. Okay.
Well, 76% of swingers compared to 54% of non-swingers.
I just would think nearly all swingers would be excited, but 76 is still decently high.
All right, okay. And there was no significant difference between the responses of men and women.
Okay.
Although, in this actual survey completed, more males than females completed the survey. Mm. So it wasn't like a 50-50 split on gender on that front, but there wasn't any kind of
correlation. Not a great correlation. Disparity, yeah.
Yeah, totally. The study, which it's worth saying, only polled self-identified swingers.
Okay.
And so that's like limited use to, you know, the rest of society, if you will.
Well, just if you're not a self-identified swinger, like, and then you like have some shame about it, like you're probably swinging a little differently than someone who's like forthcoming and like fully embraces their like swinger side.
Right. And it goes back to what we were saying about just like sexual shame and people not wanting to talk about that at all in general.
Yeah. And so like it seems like maybe and like hopefully, I guess, like this is like a fairly healthy population sample if they're like willing to talk about this part of their life like super openly.
Perhaps. Totally. And one of the things that swingers oftentimes will cite or throw down as evidence or in support, I guess, of the lifestyle, mm-hmm. That they believe, you know, sexual attraction is part of human nature. And a lot of them will cite divorce data in the U.S. as mm-hmm. kind of claiming the lack of quality sex and or spousal infidelity being major factors of divorce and saying that swinging kind of alleviates that in some capacity, I guess.
Yeah.
And spousal infidelity is a real thing. There was a study from 1990 that came up in some of this, you know, swinger talk about divorce rates and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it showed like 37% of husbands and 29% of wives admitted to at least one extramarital affair. That seemed incredibly high to me.
I'm only not surprised because I've read some things like that.
Whew, I don't know. I was like, really? I was like, define affair. But divorce rates for first marriages have like approached like 60%. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh,
swingers all so throw down that data in support of the lifestyle.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of like specific kind of pieces of conjecture that I heard thrown around in support of, like, why you might swing, of being like, well, I don't want to cheat or split up. Mm-hmm. I heard bisexuality thrown down as, like, a reason for it. Mm-hmm. I heard that, you know, people throw down, like, well, our sex life's dead, but, like, our bond's not. So, like, how do we have, like, good sex, but, like, we don't have to break up the marriage?
Right.
And in that same lane, people would be like, well, for the kids, because, like, I want to cheat, but, like, let's swing because, like, I don't want to, like, fuck up our marriage.
Right.
Then, you know, just, like, straight up being interested in voyeurism. People who just have, a desire to want to kind of break the rules, and swinging feels like a rule break.
Yeah. Rule breaking is very, very sexy.
Yeah. And I heard things that people, you know, people saying, well, I'm just not meant for monogamy, which I feel like is very much a hot topic right now. And polyamory and that lifestyle is like feels like a lot more commonplace than it used to for the reason of people being interested in non-monogamous lifestyles, I think.
Yeah.
And then I also heard things thrown down that people are like, well, sex really isn't emotional for me, so I'm just like trying to have sex. Mm-hmm. And then on, like, an ugly side, people having interest in promoting jealousy or competition.
This is bad.
And on, like, an interesting, like, or, like, leaning towards, like, oh, like, growing your relationship, saying it enhances trust. And the people who talked about it enhancing trust, a lot of couples were saying that swinging is, like, the ultimate way to enhance trust in a relationship, because if you loosen your partner's leash, so to speak, mm-hmm. and let them kind of go towards the edge of what acceptable behavior is and they don't push it, mm-hmm. then you could trust them under like any circumstance or situation.
I can kind of see that. And I could also see like the argument for maybe it like swinging, increasing intimacy for the same reason. Like you have like the excitement of a new like sexual experience, but like then you're like perhaps talking about it and like sharing that like with your partner. And so like, yes, there's like an incredible amount of trust that you have to have like and like comfort with each other to even have that conversation. And so like, I don't know, as you've been talking about swingers, I feel like that's the only thing that I like in my head. I'm like, okay, like it could build a bond like in this way.
Totally. And there is some like shared experience. And if you've been in a committed relationship for a long time, like all sorts of things lose the excitement, you know, sure. and like that chemical rush, not only from having sex with the same partner, but also like, fuck, like seeing them, you know, regularly isn't as exciting. Like going to dinner isn't as exciting as it probably is. Yeah, in the beginning,
even being
right?
in the same room. This is why people have hotel sex. Like it's like a 100% little different
to make it novel. And so, if you are swinging together, and like maybe that constitutes like you're in a couple and you like to add a third
mm-hmm.
or more, whatever. I could see, like, so I'm like, okay, you're, like, doing something kind of thrill-seeking and having the excitement of having sex with a new person, but you're doing it with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that can be bonding, and I feel like yeah, people who I advocate for threesomes and having a third oftentimes will, cite having, like, that shared experience and that thrill as something that they feel like brought them together
yes.
or like made them closer. That was like a really fun thing to do in tandem with each other.
Right.
I'll say for me, truthfully, I'm somebody who's like pretty guarded about even talking about like ex-boyfriends with people that I'm currently dating.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like really don't want to hear about people's ex-girlfriends.
Yeah, like I don't
want to know.
I don't love hearing about it. Yeah. Yeah.
But I have friends or have dated people who are a lot more interested in talking about past relationships, or I've been friends with people who I feel like as a couple knew like a distressing amount of each other's like romantic and sexual history that I was like, why do you know this?
I think it's good to know like as much as like your partner's like willing to tell you like at any given time.
Okay, but do you draw a line like, there on something? Because like if somebody wants to be like, wants to say like, if there's stuff I need to know, right? So if someone is like, hey, I had this negative experience and like,
yes,
so I'm like a little touchy
about
whatever. I'm like, great. But I don't need to know his or her name that like gave you this bad experience. I don't need to know like the name of the person you had sex with for the first time and like where you were. Like, I don't want to know that.
I like kind of do want to know that.
Really? See, I feel like the other people do. I like really don't. Like, I adamantly do not.
I think like I do want to know the... Yeah, like, I know the name of, like, the first person my girlfriend had sex with, and, like, I feel totally fine about that, like, and it's, like, so long ago that I don't feel, like, any kind of weirdness about it, and, like, but then, I don't know, I guess more recent stuff gets, like, a little touchier depending on, like, how fresh it is or isn't, but... I don't know, like names, yeah, names are totally
fine. I don't
want to
know names.
Know.
No, I hate it, and I
but
think
I
in
also
an era of social
look.
Media.
Like, no, I would I will never look, and I never have. And so, like, that makes me uncomfortable, like, the idea of,
I don't
like,
trust myself not
up.
To.
Yeah, and I think if I had the tendency to, like, dig on social media, then, like, maybe I wouldn't want to know, but...
I also don't want whoever I'm with to be Googling people I've been with.
Yeah, but also, like, you can say that. Like, I don't know. I've said that.
I don't know. I just am, like, I'm, like, a less is more people kind of vibe. And so, like, to that point, I know you're, like, in it together, like, usually if you're swinging, mm-hmm. but I'm, like, it's also, like, kind of, like, too much information for me.
Oh, okay. I think it would just be hard for me to, like, feel, like, isolated from, like, my partner's, like, sexual experience that they just had.
I would rather be in an open relationship where we were both having sex with people outside of our relationship and not telling each other the details than being like a swinging relationship where we knew what was going on.
Hmm. No,
I would rather have a don't ask, don't tell kind of situation.
Ooh, I would get an ulcer immediately.
Oh. I don't know. What I don't know can't hurt me.
But it can. Because then you can,
no,
like,
imagine
all kinds of
stuff. No, I feel like knowing makes me feel terrible.
Hmm. I don't want to know, like, maybe, like, hurtful things. Like, I don't want to know if, like, that person that you swung with, like, did something, like, way better than me. Like, that would suck. But, like, I want to know that.
Yeah, but I feel like it's, like, where do you draw the line of the details? And, like, also if you're having sex at, like, a swinging party, then you're getting into cuckolding where, like, you're seeing someone have sex with someone, not you.
Right. Well, and I think also,
how do you feel about that?
Well,
like, visually having eyes on it.
Yeah.
Not, like, knowing that it happened.
No, I'm thinking about it now, and it's making me uncomfortable, but, I think just, like, I'm, like, too monogamous to, like, feel like I would ever enjoy that, and so
yeah,
even thinking like if I think about, like, swinging with my girlfriend, like, if I think about, like, watching that happen, like, I would, like, want her to not like it, and so, like, that doesn't work. Like, that doesn't,
no. Yeah, because you don't, like, then listen, then if, like, you're someone you care about is having sex that they're unhappy having,
right.
Like, you have a whole another problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's not for me.
No. Probably not.
But I could see it being for someone else. I could see another person, like, really enjoying, like, watching their partner, like, have a sexual experience, like, that they're enjoying, like, with another person. Like, I get that for other people, I think.
Okay. So here's a flip side. Here's another interesting kind of anecdote. Take yourself out of it, like, our own personal vibes. If there were a couple that you were, like, collectively friends with, the couple, you found out that they were swingers, like, that they were swinging.
Mm-hmm.
How would you interpret that? Like, would you think it was good? Would you be like, oh, I'm, like, concerned about X, Y, and Z? Would you just be, like, endlessly curious? Like, what would your outsider vibes be if somebody you cared about and were in, like, interpersonal relationships with was swinging?
So, qualifying question. Do I feel that these close friends of mine have a very strong relationship or not?
Well, maybe answer for both of those.
Okay. So, I have, yeah, like, a handful of close friends, like, whose, like, relationships / marriages, like, I greatly admire. And I think that they're, like, just incredibly honest with each other. And so, like, if it were them, or, like, any of the people that, like, I'm thinking of in that category right now,
of, like, strong relationships, things seem good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Where, like, I really, like, believe in their marriage, or, like, they, you know, because they've demonstrated that, I think that my reaction would be like, oh, like, I guess you guys, like, just got, like, sexually curious together, and, like, that's cool that you can explore that as a team. I think that that would be, like, instantly as you were saying it, like, I was, that those were my feelings. But then I was like, oh, well, what if it's, like, someone who, like, maybe they're, like, not super communicative with their partner, like, maybe they fight a lot, then I would be, like, concerned about just the team element of it, I guess. It's just, like, is this a thing that you're doing together because you're, like, both excited to do, like, a new sexually adventurous thing, like, literally as a team? Or...
yeah.
Or are you, like, seeking sex outside of marriage, and so, like, this is, like, your hall pass, and, like, that doesn't feel as good.
Yeah. Totally.
And that's, like, I'm not a swinger, so, like, that's probably ignorant perspective, but, like, those are, like, kind of the polar ends of, like, how I think about it.
Well, I think that kind of goes to some of the motivations that I mentioned I came across. One being, like, there's the flip side of, like, this enhances trust. This is this great part of our relationship. And the other side of, like, this is kind of competitive or jealousy. Or it's, like, people really want to cheat or they really want to have sex with someone else. And so they have maybe tried to get a partner on board with that by putting it in a swinging context instead of an affair or, like, cheating
context. Right, because then it's like, oh, let me include you in my extramarital affairs.
Right.
If partner B is not feeling it.
Sure. And so, like, that's complicated.
Yes.
So if you were to broad brush, and, like, we talked stats here from truly, like, you know, limited studies, definitely. But would you broad brush that you think swinging is, like, more of a positive or more of a negative? Like, what do you think about that?
As a concept, I would say that, like, I am inclined to say that it's positive. But as someone who, for a long time, online dated, I'm going to say that it has a lot of negative fringes.
Okay, so say more about that.
I just, like, when you're, like, a girl on internet dating apps and, like, you're not heterosexual, so, like, if you're a lesbian or if you're bisexual, what happens is, like, your inbox fills up with messages from dudes asking if, like, you'll have a threesome with them and their girlfriend. And it's just, like, very uncomfortable and, like, you know, like, many people, myself included, like, you add to your profile that, like, you know, that's fine for you, but, like, no thank you, like, please don't contact me about being a third. But it just, like, happens anyway. And I don't know. I think that, like, that just, like, put a bad taste in my mouth because I was like, God damn it, like, I can't, like, find anyone on here and I'm just, like, getting this onslaught of, like, shit that I don't want. And so, like, maybe, like, my frustrations about that, like, skewed me, like, negative if I'm thinking about, like, I don't know, swinger couples generally. And so, like, that's probably unfair because that's, like, one, like, small crosscut of swingers. Like, I'm sure that there are tons of people who are, like, doing it in, like, a less annoying way.
Okay. Yeah. That's real. That's fair. I do think that, God, the internet is so interesting, and kind of what you just described is swinger culture maybe infiltrating, like, a space that they're not welcome, or, like, people aren't looking for that.
They just need their own site.
I mean, they have them.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of its own thing of called, like, you're ignoring social decency.
Right. If I check the monogamy box, then, like, please just don't.
Yeah. Totally.
I did want to ask you.
Okay.
And this is, like, not really related to, I mean, it's swingers, but it's not, like, directly related to what we're talking about.
Okay.
But have you ever heard that, like, when people have those big stars on the front of their house, like those decorative stars, that that's a sign that that home is, like, swingers?
This just made me very stressed. I've never heard that, but, like, my mom did have a metal star. I know that my parents aren't fucking swingers because, like, they're not. But now I'm like, was Wendy putting out vibes that she didn't mean to?
Maybe.
Questions.
I don't know.
It looks very Americana. It was, like, low-key kind of patriotic. So, anyway.
Exactly. And, like, we had some neighbors that had one, same neighborhood as your parents.
Sure.
And my dad, king of talking about swinging, I guess, one time.
I love how much your dad is coming up as someone who's like, well, let me tell you about these swingers.
Right. we were, like, at a barbecue at her house, and he was like, you know, that star on the front of your house means you're a swinger? And she was like, what? And then, like, a couple days later, took it down. But I don't know that that's actually true. Like, that
I'm like, where did we hear that? That is
just from,
like,
my dad.
Like, an urban
so, like,
I know. But, I mean, where did he hear it? I'm like, is this just, like, weird urban legend?
He could have thought he heard it somewhere. It could, You never know. You never know. I
wonder if there is like a strong way to identify yourself as a swinger to people.
Because
I feel like that would be important so that people didn't misstep.
I feel that it's very important. I read on the internet, because I did after I was like, oh, the stars thing. yeah, I was like, is that real? And then, like, admittedly, like, I couldn't find anything about that.
See, okay, listen.
So it's a very, very small urban legend. Maybe we could perpetuate it, but anyway.
Okay. Listen, people, if you put stars on the side of your house, I hear it means you're a swinger.
If you go to a swingers party, though, and you're a married couple, you're supposed to put your wedding ring on your right hand instead of your left hand to show that you're, like, open to hooking up.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Or, like, if you go to one of those swingers bars up in Westchester and you're like, I need the people here to know that I'm a swinger, but, like, not talk about it. If you're in one of those bars that I can message
you
about later.
And you wear your wedding ring on the other hand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Flip your ring.
That actually seems like a very logical, strong pivot to swinger identify.
Yeah. It's also, I think where people put purity rings. No, the religious put those on the wedding finger.
I was going to say, they usually do that on the wedding finger, I think.
Yeah, that's, we'll talk about that another time.
Married to fucking chastity, anyway.
Married to Jesus. Married to your dad until he gives you to your husband.
Help, I'm so stressed right now.
Now I can't even remember what the fuck I was saying. Oh, how swingers identify each other. Yeah, so okay, the ring thing is, like, the thing in bars. And then it also said that, like, a lot of female swingers wear ankle bracelets or toe rings. But I'm just like, that's just the culture.
I'm like, that's just bad fashion. That's, and I think just, like, an interesting culture, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just, like, sometimes being, like, in Florida.
It is. Hey,
but, like,
maybe there's
Florida
a lot
seems
of swingers
like a state a lot of people would swing in. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. I kind of think one of the things to me that's interesting about at least my stereotypes, and I felt kind of affirmed in things I read, that swinging is something that very much seems like more of like a middle-aged or like an older crowd.
Thank
vibe.
You for touching on that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it makes sense to me for a couple reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One, swinging, predominantly when we think about this, it's people who are in married or very committed relationships who are, like, sexually having experiences with other people outside of their relationship, like, with their partner, not with their partner, et cetera. But marriage seems to be, like, a component. So it makes sense that, like, maybe you'd be married for a while and, like, that would innately put you in a different age bracket most of the time.
Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't really probably want to swing if you had, like, little kids in the house. Like, it'd be harder to, like,
have... I bet that wouldn't stop people.
Well, but, you know what? Yeah, you're right.
I don't think sex and your sex life and what you're into should be determined by life stages, but I just
know
what you've got going on with kids or not or whatever.
Also, because kids take up a lot of your time and your energy.
True, they do. They do. But I also think it's like important to, as a parent,
you gotta stay fucking.
Well, stay fucking is important, I think. But then also, like, be a whole person, and, like, being a whole person includes having hobbies and having sex and doing things that seem fun.
Mm-hmm.
All of that said.
And eating things that aren't food for children.
Well, that too. That all being said, the other reason that it would make sense to me that swinging would happen more in older crowds would be perhaps if women were, like, postmenopausal, that you wouldn't be worried about getting pregnant with somebody else's baby.
Wow, my head did not even go there. I'm never worried about getting pregnant, but I did not think about that at all.
Well, so on the Criminal Minds episode that I harkened back to originally.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
The trigger for this guy to start killing people is that his wife became pregnant by another man in their like swinging community, and so there's a lot of shit going on there.
I think that's actually technically the definition of cuckolding is in the animal kingdom when one male impregnates the another male's female companion and tricks the husband essentially into raising bastard offspring. So it's like you get to like make a biological baby and then have someone else take care of it. And I guess that's not desirable. So, yeah.
Well, that was like the premise in this. And there was like rough, weird shit. And he was a sociopath and a serial killer. So that's like another layer to the swinging
you have that,
conundrum
yeah.
on this show. Right. But one of the things I did read is they were talking about in kind of the culture of swinging, that being of real concern, and part of like oral contraception becoming more readily available kind of helped popularize swinging even more because that was more off the table.
Mm-hmm.
And that made a lot of sense to me because swinging is to engage in sex with people, but it's not to engage at its core. And I'm not saying that it doesn't pivot this way because I think it can and it does.
Sure, yeah. But at like, its core, it would seem.
It's just sex. It's not a more intimate, like, kinship or partnership, etc.
Yes, yes.
Like,
and
you're there for the
way,
sex.
Yes, for sure. And in that way, I feel like it really deviates from, like, polyamory, which, like, we won't touch because it's too big to touch right now.
It's a whole nother episode, truthfully.
Yeah, for sure. And I honestly, like, don't experientially know anything about it, but just from, like, reading about it and watching things, I feel like swinging really does, like, differ slightly from polyamory, like, in that if you're swinging, you're probably not having, like, emotional relationships with those other couples outside of maybe your friendship.
The core seems to be that you're not, and that the line that you might cross, and here's maybe where we get back to trust in swinging, would be then if someone pursued more like sex outside of the parties or like outside, like not with their partner, but then also like more of maybe a
like
kinship
a romantic,
and or a connection. Yeah.
Yeah.
A romantic relationship outside of like a swing party situation, but like outside of just sex.
Yeah. That's what I would think.
That seems to be the general consensus, the general takeaway. Whereas to your point, polyamory can often mean like emotional connections and like
you
true
and you
dating
and you.
Relationships
yeah.
with more than one person, not just sex with them.
Right, right.
So these have been, I guess, like light conjecture, thoughts, and some stats on swingers. An interesting sect of like sexual communities, if you will. And I don't know. I really do fancy myself monogamous and like very much in that lane, but as I always say in the words of Justin Bieber, never say never, and you never know. Who will I be at 45? I don't know.
You can't know. Yeah.
You can't know. And
We can guess, and I would guess that I probably won't be a swinger, but you can't know.
You cannot know for sure. you literally cannot know your swinging capacity.
Yeah.
That said, I think in true Why Are You Like This fashion, we gotta swing on right into a verbal game.
Let's do it, yes. The vibraphone?
Cue it.
All right, so I just want to fire off a couple of varying in intensity would you rathers for you related to swinging.
Oh, I like varying in intensity.
Yeah, one of them, like...
Kind of like partners if you're swinging.
Well,
wait,
hey,
okay.
Yeah. Okay, so... Would you rather, in a swinging situation, watch your partner have sex with someone else, or would you rather have your partner watch you have sex with someone else?
Oh, wow. That is so complicated.
Yeah.
Well, this is hard because on one front, I'm like, I don't really want to watch my partner have sex with someone else. But on, like, another front, like, I don't really want someone who's not a part of my, like, sexual experience to watch, like
you
to
don't
be
want
a, I don't
a
want
third
a,
party.
I don't want a sexual spectator. That's like I feel like it's kind of like when you have to parallel park. I feel like you like when you have like someone who never watches you drive around all of a sudden.
Oh
and
god,
then you
yeah.
feel like incapable. I would like I think I'd feel pretty insecure for anyone to watch me have sex.
Even if it
even
was
if
your...
it's someone I have sex with. Okay. I don't know. It just feels kind of weird.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. I could see that.
So even though I was the girl who, at the beginning of this, was like, I don't want any knowledge of anyone else's sexual experience, like, explicitly, which I, like, kind of still hold to be true. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Depending on who they were having sex with, like, if I could, like, watch them have sex with, like, a celebrity or something, I could... And if, like, if I was watching them have sex with someone that it was just, like, so one time, it wasn't, like, a friend of ours, I think mm-hmm. I might rather watch.
Okay.
Like, I almost feel like I would rather, it almost feels more removed and, like, I don't want to be a part of this situation. So I think I'd rather be, like, as far from it as I could be, which I think is spectator. What would you do?
Yeah, yeah. You would be, I think, for you could kind of, like, disappear in a way that you couldn't if you were, like, actually the one that was fucking as much.
Fucking, yeah. Totally.
I don't want to do either. Yeah. But
right,
I guess
same.
I think spectator because, like, I think that, like, I would be, like, so in my head if I was, like, trying to be, like, the active, like, fuck participant that, like...
Yeah, I would be like, I don't look hot enough. This is probably a bad angle to see me from. Like, I don't know.
Oh, I feel like I would just be worried about, like, relationship or, like, interpersonal stuff and, like, if I should actually be doing this or not.
Okay, that's... I mean, well, how big of you? I was like, I'm sorry, I don't think this is my best angle.
No, I don't think I would feel self-conscious, like physically, but I think that,
would.
Like, the complexity of the situation, I think would have me so in my head that I'd fucking dry up, you know? You
just... Oh, well, that's real. Lubrication would be needed. Like, this is, yeah, this is
so
too,
watch.
Like, heady a space of, like, sex.
Exactly. Yeah. You're in your fucking head.
It would be like the Sahara. Okay, anyway.
Dryness. Anyway. Mm. Last question. Or,
too much friction,
sorry,
yes?
Next question. Would you rather, in your marriage, for your life, your long-term partner, would you rather have a celibate marriage, neither of you fuck each other or anyone else, or would you rather have, like, pretty much a normal sex life, but you have a spectator every time you have sex?
I think I'd rather have someone watch me every time I have sex.
Yeah, me too. Than celibate marriage.
Like,
cannot.
I just don't want to not have sex.
Cannot with celibate marriage. Yeah.
That one's pretty quick trigger. And, like, I mean, listen, you already heard my feels about having someone watch me have sex. Like, I feel not great about that. Mm-hmm. But if the choice is not having sex, like, no brainer.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Last, would you rather have a threesome with a partner or do a full couple swap? So, like, you and your partner and one other person, or you guys, like, switch and each have a one-on-one fuck with someone else independently of each other?
Full couple swap.
Fully disagree.
Yeah. I knew you would.
Yeah. I don't want to do it, but if I had to choose, yes, that one.
What makes the threesome more appealing to you than the full couple swap?
The full couple swap, I think, just, like, because I would be not, like, I would be by myself. Like, not being with a partner feels, like, almost like it's a
secret. Well, you wouldn't be by yourself. You'd be
with
fucking somebody else.
I know, but, like, I guess, like, I would want whatever, like, sexually adventurous thing we were doing to be, like, fully as a couple. And so, like, I think that I would not want to, like, fuck someone, like, on my own. Like, so a threesome sounds like a lot more, like, it's part of the relationship. Whereas, like, a one-on-one fuck with another person feels, like, outside the relationship to me, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely more outside. I think the thing that probably steers me towards full couple swap and away from a threesome, and I feel very, like, that feels like a no-brainer to me, for me personally, because I just would really worry about the dynamics of said threesome.
Oh, yeah, it's fucking minefield.
Well, I just, like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to be in a sexual situation with a partner, someone I really care about. Or somebody I'm... fuck it. Like, or a hookup.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in a situation where I'm either dealing with feeling like left out or like less chosen than someone, dealing with even if I felt like the power dynamics like shifted in a way that was like favorable to me, I then would feel like bad for the other person.
But so it would I'd rather not have
sex with someone else.
Yeah, so I guess sex with someone else for you.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just like, because it's just like, it's too much. Like, someone, listen, when you have a threesome, someone is left out. I just really believe that. Maybe not the entire time, but, like, I think often.
And I don't know, you know?
Listen, people can argue with me on that, but 100%. All unique and special, like snowflakes, all the threesomes. Yeah, I don't know. That's fair.
Well, so that concludes my would you rather fires for you.
I love it. Well, I'd like to throw a different game back at you.
I ready.
Which is our kind of semblance of a marry, fuck, kill, which is really just like three choices with rules.
I love three choices with rules.
Great. So I'm going to give you three couples that you and your partner would swing with.
Okay.
And you have the option to, like, someone is going to be, like, one of these couples is going to be your long-term, like, swinging dynamic. Like, you're going to swing.
Okay, yeah. We're going on vacations with them. This is your
swinger couple. Like, y'all are, like, in it.
Yeah.
One of these couples is a couple that you'll swing with once. Like, you'll have, like, one hot, steamy night. Then, like, never again.
Uh-huh.
And then the other couple, it's just, like, off the table. Like, you don't have sex with them. You don't swing with them.
Delete them, yeah.
Sure. And to keep things kind of fun, I am doing celebrity couples.
Yes,
and
thank you.
One of these partners is constant, and the other variables are people that he was either engaged or married to.
Stop.
Who? I'd like to start chronologically at the earliest point the three couples I'm giving you.
Uh-huh.
So I shall propose.
So the man is always going to be the same. Go ahead.
And that man, and I like strong choice, I think, based on conventional standards of beauty.
Sure, yeah.
And the golden ratio. His very symmetric face.
Mm-hmm.
You can hook up with Brad Pitt and when he was with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, I forgot about that.
They were engaged. You can be with Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could be with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
Mm.
Which Brad Pitt couple are you swinging with?
So, I really do not like Gwyneth Paltrow. It's just something. She's polarizing. I can't fully explain it. And I think that's part of being a polarizing person. People just react to you. It's nothing against her acting ability, just like something about her essence I'm irritated by. So I'm tempted to pass on her completely. But the problem with Jennifer Aniston, while I do feel that she may be the strongest choice for a long-term swing buddy couple.
Okay.
Personality-wise, I feel she may be the strongest choice. She will always remind me of my mom, and so I have to, I gotta get her out of there. So we have to just fully delete Jennifer Aniston, unfortunately.
And Jan is out.
And then I don't love my choices that I'm left with. Honestly, I do think, and I know that this is very boring of me, but, like, I do honestly find Brad Pitt very attractive in all of his life stages.
And I think one of my favorite things about him, and I think Gwyneth Paltrow is the one who actually originally threw shade to this in, like, a funny way.
Mm-hmm.
She made the joke about how he, like, always looks like his girlfriends. And if you go through the images, like, and you want to see him with different haircuts, when he was with Gwyneth Paltrow, his haircut looked like Gwyneth Paltrow's. When he was with Jennifer Aniston, his haircut looked like Jennifer Aniston. And when he was with Angelina,
then he got all scraggly.
And a lot of other people. And actually, if you haven't, like, gone through this, like, Google image, resource, I really suggest all of you get out your phones, soak it in. It's delightful. He's a chameleon.
Really does.
He's had a lot of different looks.
And he really does kind of adapt to whoever he's with. Huh.
Mm.
Or he's choosing women who reflect his current persona, but that's neither here nor there.
Listen, Brad Pitt's psyche, which we know nothing about, is, I'm still sure, a whole nother episode. In which we'd be
look
very
forward
ill-equipped.
To Brad Pitt's psyche.
Coming well, soon. I mean, look forward to our episode next week called Brad Pitt's Psyche.
That will not happen.
What if?
Anyway.
Don't worry, that's a lie. Okay.
So then I don't.
He's a very handsome man, and I'm not traditionally attracted to blondes.
Man.
So
yeah.
Go for it.
So then I'm left with Gwyneth Paltrow and Angelina. And Angelina, while she has done good works, also has done crazy things in that I have, you know what I mean?
Like when she used to wear Billy Bob's like blood in a vial around her neck. Yeah.
Like that. And when she like made out with her brother at the awards and
Oh yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. And then like all the things about like her, like the like knife play stuff. I don't know. That's a lot. I'm not into knife play or bloodletting sexually, so
just
that would be a lot
that
to handle
with
as a swinger.
Billy Bob Thornton. I mean,
also that.
I have feelings about that. She had his name tattooed on her. She got it removed, but it used to be there.
Yeah, she sure did. So I guess my answer is like I am kind of afraid of what
that you were like. I love Brad Pitt, but I hate all the female choices, I think is what you kind of said.
This is what I'm saying. And what I'm saying is that I think that Angelina would be perhaps the most fun to, like, just, you know, like, you're going to be friends with them long term if you're swinging with them for your whole fucking life. Like, you're probably going to dinner and hanging out. So, like, who do I want to hang out with? I guess Angelina, but I am afraid of some of her sexual appetites. You know, I just... It feels like it might be a lot.
It might feel a little heavy. Yeah.
I don't... Just knives, man. Maybe she's not still into that. Anyway. And then I guess I have to have one time with Gwyneth Paltrow, but maybe that can be a full swap and I can fully avoid her. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You could.
Yeah. So that's my answer. What would you... I know you'd do that differently.
Yeah, of course. Because as we spoke to, Gwyneth Paltrow is polarizing, and I love the crap out of her.
I know you do.
And it's like a no-brainer
for me. No one who's
listening
is surprised by our opinions about her.
No, I own all of her cookbooks. I think she's a real force. She loves gin martinis and french fries, and I'm like, girl, and I could hang. And I think she's like just a really interesting person with a cool perspective and has like cool hobbies and interests and is like a baller in terms of like entrepreneurship.
Sure.
So
yes,
do with that what you will. She, Gwyneth and Brad would absolutely be my long-term partner, like no
Most
question
definitely. I see that
that feels very easy. And then I do kind of have a hard time with who I would have like a one-time romp with between Brad and Jay Aniston and Brad and Angelina, because I will say in the tabloid playout, and we talked about this in Women in Competition, we talked about how Jennifer Aniston and Angelina got pitted against each other in the tabloids and all the things, and like,
they sure
always
did.
Been Team Aniston. Like,
I
just always been, I love her. Also, she's
right.
like friends with Chelsea Handler, so like maybe Chelsea could come to this like sexual experience. I don't know. That could be very cool. Like, could we like harken it back to like when Chelsea Handler was like fucking 50 Cent?
I was gonna say,
Curtis.
Maybe you could hear some stories about Curtis. Or maybe Curtis could come, you know?
I'm open to both.
I know you are.
He has a bullet fragment in his tongue. Dame Judi Dench touched
Would
it through a tissue
what?
On the Graham Norton show.
What?
This happened? Listen, guys, if you're not watching British Late Night, you're doing your life wrong. He says it's great for oral sex. Thank you, 50 Cent.
That's what I was gonna... Yeah, okay.
Yep. So just that's a casual mention. I know
it's
he's not a part
like
of this equation.
Yeah. That makes
sense. I mean, kind of. Judi Dench could feel it, so you're welcome.
Through a tissue. Not a dental
sanitary.
Dam, but a tissue.
Nope, that's right. That said, sexually, like in terms of physicality, I think if I were to be with either Jennifer Aniston or Angelina, I think I'm more sexually attracted to Angelina, but I think she seems like kind of an asshole. But if I'm only going to fuck her once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it could be, but she sounds also like a freak, and I don't think I like knives in the bedroom, if that is a thing that's going on.
That is.
I didn't really remember that until you brought it up, and then I was like, ooh, I don't know, like, because, listen, when you get around weapons and a sexual experience, and that gets ratcheted
television
up,
has taught us. Television
people
has taught
die.
Us that people die.
People have died on episodes of Criminal Minds and Law and Order SVU, and that's all you really need to know about this
episode. Knives in the bedrooms means basements in the body. You know what I mean? The other way.
I do know what you mean. Yep. Mm-hmm. Sure enough. So that like one time fuck is harder for me. It might depend on. I think it would depend on the hookup. Mm-hmm. But if it was like somebody came over and like we were gonna have like a fun dinner and then it was just like somehow gonna lead to sex, Jennifer Aniston, 100%.
Yeah.
If I had to like, me and my partner had to like have like impulsive sex in a bar bathroom, Angelina.
Okay. Yeah.
But either
you know,
way, Gwyneth Paltrow, long haul, no question. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Right. But you're going on it. Sexual wine trips with Gwyneth. Yeah.
Wait, like, can that be my life? Can I go on sexual wine trips with Gwyneth Paltrow? It'd be like, all of my dreams come true. Oh my God. Oh,
sexual wine trips sound great, actually.
Honestly, like, first of all, you had me at sexual wine trips. I don't even care who's coming. Second of all, though, like, now that I'm talking about this, I'm like, man, like, Gwyneth Paltrow, like, might be, like, my top five, like, female, like, I'm into you.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just love her.
Yeah. You should explore
just
that.
Her. I'm open to it. I'm always trying to be open to it.
Open to the goops.
Yeah. Well, listen, that said, like any week and every week, you can sound off to us on the internet, and we would love it if you did, because I'd like to know who you want to go on sexual wine trips with.
And the names of swingers clubs that you go to.
Oh, yeah. Hit us with that, and we'll try and get you the ones of Ohio Burbs if you are so inclined.
Yeah, or if you need that connect.
Well, you listen if you need that connect. And you can get at us, as always, on the internet, on Instagram at whyyoulikethispod, via email at whyyoulikethispod@gmail.com, and on Twitter at WAYLTTweets. And thanks for hanging. I hope that if not tonight, if not this month, if not this year, you too soon are on a sexual wine trip.
Yes. Oh, yes. And on that note,
I hope we all go on sexual wine trips.
Oh. I have nothing left to say. Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Good morning. Bye.
Bye.